Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Acts in chapter 2 as a starting point. Acts in chapter 2. I told this story sometime during COVID, but I want to tell it because it kind of introduces what I want to preach here this morning. And it's about the lion that's going through the jungle, and he pounces on the anteater and holds the anteater down to the ground, says to the anteater, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the anteater says, "Oh, mighty lion, you're the king of the jungle." And he lets him up and goes a little farther down the jungle path and pounces on the zebra and pins him to the ground and says, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the zebra says, "Oh, mighty lion, you're the king of the jungle." And he lets him go. Goes a little further down the path and he pounces on the elephant and says, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the elephant grabs him with his trunk and slams him to the right and slams him to the left and under the ground. And the lion gets up and dusts himself off and says, "Well, you don't have to get rough just because you can't remember." And the truth is, our king is Jesus. It's not that little lion going through the jungle. And although we are the church, we can't forget who we are. We are the church of Jesus Christ, the bride. We're the bride of Christ. That isn't the point of pride. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying in Christ, we're somebody. In fact, we are who God has left on this church to accomplish his work and to do his will. I want to be a great church. And that's what I'm going to preach this morning, what it takes to be a great church of God. This is a preparatory message for the weeks that are coming. I've got some humdingers lined up. Where I've been studying and just kind of been falling together. And I'm expecting a great wave of evangelism. I'm expecting a lot of people to get born again. I am trusting that God is going to bless in a great way. Did I turn my mic on, the lapel mic on? Okay, I'm getting old at the same time, so I got to get these messages preached while I still have my mind. I do have a smaller shirt on this morning. Got a couple of shirts, ordered them in the mail. And so I've gone from an 18 to a 17 and a half. I'm trying to keep that tie from moving over while I'm preaching. So I'm down to a 17. That's about as small as I'm going to go right now. And I don't know if I'm going to go. And I hung on to the old fat shirts, though, in case it goes back the other way. Never know how that's going to work. I want to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." As the pastor, as the under-shepherd of New Testament, of Fundamental Baptist Church, a New Testament church of Fundamental, I want to stand before God with all the congregation, all the members of Fundamental Baptist Church, and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want this church to be a great church, not in the eyes of man. And it's not about a certain number. It's not about a certain size or a certain, it's about being faithful. It's about honoring God. I want God to look down at this church from top to bottom, and we meet on the first day of the week, and he looks down and says, "There's one of my churches. There's a New Testament assembly honoring me on this Lord's Day, and I am pleased with them." I want to please my God. So I go to Acts in chapter 2, which I preach out of the book of Acts. It seems like I have preached a lot since COVID-19 kind of broke in upon us, and I trust that God will just make it live this morning. Stand with me, please, as I read just a couple of verses by way of introduction. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." That's the way we ought to be this morning. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." That's what it looked like. "And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances." Not the modern, crude, fraudulent, counterfeit tongue movement that's going on in parts of the world today, but 15 known languages. They're all listed right here. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Father, we're going to come to you now, and Lord, just kind of stop in this passage right here and pick it up again in just a moment. But God, we need your presence, and we need your power, and we know that will only be manifested through your Spirit. We ask God that the Holy Spirit would take holy writ, the very word of God, and challenge each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that every member of Fundamental Baptist Church, every attender, every casual, just attender, they'd have a desire to really please you. God, we know that this being the church age and not being much time left, you're looking for churches that'll stand for you. We want to be that church. We want to be with that, in that part of that army that is standing without apology for the word of God and for the things of God. Would you bless this morning? Prepare us. Get our hearts ready. Lord, prepare us for great days ahead. Prepare us for thousands coming to Christ. Prepare us for persecution. Prepare us for dark days and yet exciting days. God, would you just help us to be zealous and on fire when the trumpet sounds. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To use the old West lingo, I want to be in the saddle when the trumpet sounds. Man, I want to have my boots on. I want to be serving God. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a could-have-been. I want to be someone that's right up front. The Church of Jesus Christ. Things have changed. Since last March, things have changed.
That's right.
We haven't run any buses. We haven't passed an offering plate. Things have kind of had to be reworked just a little bit, but some things have not changed and will never change. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Amen. That's not going to change. Amen. The blood atonement. Amen. That's not going to change. It's still the blood.
Right.
It is still the blood. The Great Commission. That has not changed. The King is coming.
Amen.
That has not changed.
Right.
We've got to be faithful. Now, I'm excited in the fact that, you know, we're coming out of winter. We survived. We've done well. As a matter of fact, I would say we thrived. We did. The one thing missing is the go that's in the gospel. I'm concerned about that. And I'm planning a whole week here coming up, and you're going to hear about it in the near future. But it's like we've seen people come. We've seen people get saved. We've seen people get born again through the whole COVID thing. We're back at it again. We're hundreds of people strong. But the fact is, I know what's missing. I just sense it because we can't, you know, not really out knocking on doors. We need to get inviting people out to church again. We need to go after people and bring them to the services again. We're pretty much full, and I'm excited about that, but I'm not satisfied. There's so many people that need to get born again. There are so many people that are without Christ. And as a people of God, I just remind you, there certain things just cannot change. And the church has thrived. It's thrived through persecution and poverty and pestilence. The devil has used these things, but it's brought the church to its knees. And that's right where we ought to be, leaning on God. It really is. Look at Acts in chapter 2 again, and I'm going to try to get to this as quickly as I can. So that's 40 days, actually, with the 10 days of waiting in the upper room. It's 50 days after the Passover. Now it's come to the Pentecost, and we find the day of Pentecost. We refer to it as the day of Pentecost that takes place. They're in the upper room. The Holy Spirit comes down. The church is born. The church is, although they're gathered together, and this is the embryo, this is the beginnings of the church in Jerusalem, it needed the breath of life. It needed a touch of God. It needed an enabling of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's just a gathering of Old Testament saints. And on that day, in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came, as of a rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues of fire. And thousands hear the gospel that day. As a matter of fact, Peter preaches a message. He stands up, and there's something different about Peter now, this old rugged fisherman. 584-word sermon that we have recorded for us in Holy Writ. Maybe he preached something else along with that. I'm not sure. But the Holy Spirit empowers Peter. It's different. 3,000 people get saved. And it's just the beginning. And shortly after that, another 5,000 people get saved. You say, man, that's amazing. What if that happened in the Eastern Upper Peninsula? It can. It can't. There doesn't need to be another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here. He indwells the believer. There just needs to be a surrendering. That's all that's got to take place. And then God is going to bless. And you say, what did Peter preach? He was a Bible preacher. Look what it says in verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He was a resurrection preacher. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Look at verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 34, and David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Peter was a resurrection preacher. Peter was an ascension preacher. That's what I preached last Sunday morning, I believe. So Jesus has come. He's fulfilled his mission. He made the blood atonement available. It is finished. And then he ascended on up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But when he left, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came on that day in the upper room as if a rushing mighty wind and the breath of life was breathed into the church of Jesus Christ and became a living organism. That's what separates the men from the boys. We need that at Fundamental Baptist Church. Some may just jump in the middle of the message and maybe just happen to tune in and misjudge what I'm preaching. That's a danger. I realize that. But we need to be a great church. I don't want to be just another church. I don't want to be just an also-ran. I don't want to be one of many that are swimming in mediocrity. I want the power of God. You know what we need here? The breath of heaven. Amen. We need our Lord Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit to breathe upon this family of God that meets at Fundamental Baptist Church. We need old-fashioned Holy Spirit power. We need an infilling of the Holy Spirit that we're told that we can have in Ephesians in chapter 5, where God just takes control. Then we forget ourselves and our own inhibitions, and we forget our pride, and we set it all aside, and we become tools in the Master's hands. And millions come to Christ. Thousands come to Christ. Hundreds come to Christ. One at a time, they come to Christ. I hunger for that. I thirst for that. You say, preacher, what makes a great church? Look at chapter 4. Boy, I could preach chapter 2. Man, I could preach chapter 3. Just work my way through it. The last verse of chapter 3. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. There's forgiveness of sins. And that's the message. That was the message of the first century church. Everywhere they went, they were telling people they can have eternal life. Everywhere they went, they were telling people, there's forgiveness of sins for you if you'll just come to the Messiah, if you'll just come to Christ. See, it's not religion. If you'll just come to Christ with all your baggage and all your problems and recognize that you're a sinner and ask Jesus, the Redeemer, ask Jesus, our advocate and our mediator, to forgive you of your sins, he is the Savior of the world. He will forgive you, and he'll make you clean, and he'll set you on the rock, and you can be used of God. And that's a message everybody needs to hear. Your coworker needs to hear that. Somehow, some way, whether it's a gospel tract or you verbally telling them that or you sharing your own testimony, somehow, some way, they've got to be told there's hope. There's hope. And it's found in Jesus. And that's what the church is about. See, what makes a great church? Number one, a church, great church, has a great God. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's an even greater number than got saved in the day of Pentecost. These men and these women were living out the death, the burial, and the resurrection before a lost world. And I want you to know that's attractive. The lost sinner can't help but be attracted to the Savior Jesus Christ. If I could tell you how good he was, if you could understand what I'm trying to say, you would run to him with arms open wide. You would fall at his feet. You would want him to be your Savior as well. If I could tell you how good God is to the sinner saved by grace, you would want to follow him just like others follow him. You wouldn't stray away from him. If I could just somehow make it more than words, and God in heaven, would you just do that this morning? Just take the words that I'm preaching, take the word of God, and penetrate cold, indifferent hearts. Our God is a big God. Amen. Our God is huge. There is no other God. That is monotheism. There is no other God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't run to the world. Run to Jesus. Real simple. Our God is a great God. I was going to go to an Old Testament passage, two of them. Not going to do that. I just remind you, our God is a big God. They have a great God. A great church must have a great God. A great church must have great doctrine, great doxology, and great duty. That's a real sweet little outline that doesn't fit what I'm trying to, it fits what I'm trying to say, but I want to break it down more than that. Great doctrine, that's the word of God. Great doxology, that's praise. That's living it out. That's putting shoe leather to it. And duty, that's what we're called to do. We must have a great God, and a great church is has great prayer. Look here at Acts in chapter 4 again, and look at verse. Oh man, I could skip. I hesitate skipping anything, but look at verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, and thou hast made heaven and earth and sea and the sea and all that in them is. And of course, that's a great God. Go on down to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is soul winning power. They spake the word of God with boldness. When they came together and they prayed, and this one event, in the book of Acts is a transition book, right? I understand that. You understand that if you're a Bible student. But when they prayed, something happened. I mean, the place literally shook. Nothing is going to happen of any eternal consequence in a big way without the prayers of God's people. Without God's people getting desperate at the throne of God. Let me let you in on a little trade secret that you ought to know, because it really isn't a secret. This is a mystery of the church. This really is it. The reason so many great things happen at this church is Wednesday night prayer meeting. I guarantee it. We're going to get to heaven. I guarantee it. Without people in the auditorium praying, King's Kids is flat. Without people in the auditorium praying, Camp Canaan Land, Maplewood Baptist Academy, our social media, the radio, the live streaming, it's all flat. It's all just another church service. What has got to happen is people need to come to the throne of God. I'm encouraging you as a member of Fundamental Baptist Church, come to Wednesday night and pray.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Come to Wednesday night and pray. And if you're downstairs and you're not doing anything profitable with the kids, like you're an extra, get up here in the auditorium and get on your knees. This is the boiler house right here. This is where it takes place. And the services we have on Sunday that are great services, they are in direct correlation to the Wednesday night prayer meeting crowd. Every single time. That is amazing to me. And I'm just letting you in on a little secret. A great church is a church that has great prayer. It's not a show. Not at all. We're to pray without ceasing. We must have bigger prayer meeting crowds at Fundamental Baptist Church if we're really going to reach the Upper Peninsula for Christ. We got to have it. We got a good crowd, and it was a good crowd last Wednesday night, but there needs to be more. You see, it's not about me and you. It's about going to the throne of God, which is a lot of work. A great church has a great God, great prayer, great doctrine. Always great doctrine. Already read verse 31. Let me read it again. And when they had prayed together, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. We need to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. We need to be Bible-centric as the people of God. We need to be known for one thing: Bible preaching. Bible teaching, Bible living. I was with my brethren that are a little bit, some of them a little bit to the left of us, and it was last Tuesday morning, and we just get together for coffee is all we do, but I always bring my Bible, and there's another one that does as well, always brings his Bible, we were talking about something, and I brought something up, and one of the men, and they meant it, I know they meant it as a backhanded compliment, you know, like that. like it really wasn't a compliment. I said, Brother Rader, you're always all about the Bible. And I took that. Yes, that's where I plant my flag. Amen. That's who I am. Yep. That's what we ought to be. Amen. You get away from the Bible, you can start doing your own thing. That's what Tim Rader would do. Man, that's what he's done many times. I'm going to hold on to the book. I want the engrafted word of God. That's why we need great doctrine and great preaching at Fundamental Baptist Church. Also, that great power. Look what it says in verse 33 of the same chapter in Acts in chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great power, they gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus. I'll say it again. We just finished the Easter season. We serve a living God. Amen. He is alive. Many times we don't live like it, but he is alive. And he's coming again. Our God is a living God. And that with that resurrection comes resurrection power. We are commanded of God to be surrendered to him and have the power of the Holy Spirit. He said to his followers before Pentecost in Luke, tarry ye in Jerusalem. Wait. You wait, and the Comforter will come. And he did. And they were endued with power from on high, just like they were told. And the first thing they did, they started to reach out. They stopped looking within. There's a great indicator of someone who's truly born again when they're concerned about their loved ones. And they started reaching out. Turn your Bibles to Romans 9. I'm almost done. Romans in chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness, this is Paul speaking, and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What a difference in the Apostle Paul's life. He was a self-serving man. Now he's to the place where he'd be willing to give up his own salvation if only the Jews would come to Christ. That's an impossibility, but that was his heart. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He said, my one desire, my heartthrob is that the Jews would come to Christ. My kinsmen, according to the flesh. Do you feel that way about your kinfolk? Do you feel that way about your family? Have you gotten to the place where you just let them go to hell? And it really doesn't bother you anymore? Man, we need the power of God. And if we're going to have the power of God, we need to surrender to him. Go back to Acts in chapter 4 again. Acts chapter 4, I just want to read a couple of more verses. Maybe even just one more verse. Nope, I want to read about four more verses. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That, my friend, is soul winning. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there anything among them that lacked. Great grace. They gave of themselves. When you have great grace and you give out of your poverty, I want to word this right. When you have great grace and you give of that which you have very little of, but you share it, it's not a sacrifice. Amen. You never look at it as a sacrifice. Man in the church was telling me how he helped someone who was looking for a handout and gave him $60 out of the ATM machine, gave it to him, knowing that the guy probably was just going to use it wrongly, but he wanted to be a witness to him. And it wasn't a sacrifice. Because of great grace. Is anybody else here like me? Do you have a hard time outgiving God? Man, do you have a hard time sacrificing? Because every time you give something up, you get something more in return? And that's how good God is. Let's read the rest of the chapter. Just a couple of verses. Neither was there among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Man, they sold everything they had and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. There was nothing, there was no sacrifice. There wasn't anything they could do that was considered a sacrifice. They gave of their poverty. Some people give of their riches. and think they're pleasing God and count their beans afterwards. Some people give of their poverty and love Jesus. And you'll never outgive God. Great church. A great church. Church of Jerusalem was a great church. That's kind of what I'm trying to say here this morning. They had a great God. They were great prayer warriors. They had great doctrine, great power, and great sacrifice. Great grace. It was all around them. They had great doctrine, great doxology, and great duty. They had the truth. They had the praise. And they lived it out. It was all over their life. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, they practiced the presence of God and great duty. I want to serve God. Remember back in grade school, let's go back a long time when they used to use chalkboards, some of you older people. Remember the teacher would say, hey, I need somebody to clean the erasers. How many know what I'm talking about? We'd say clean the erasers. Okay, there's some old people here today. You'd go outside with those erasers and they were full of chalk dust. And you'd go outside in the wind and you'd bang those things together, big cloud of dust. Man, that was great fun. It was great fun because you were getting out of English is why. But you know, how many want to help the teacher today and want to clean the erasers? Everybody's hands shoot up. Man, every boy in the class. Yes, me, pick me. Pick me, teacher. That's the way it ought to be when God's looking for a servant. Someone to be a soul winner. Someone to go talk to somebody. Me, choose me, God. Just choose me. Choose me. I want to do it. And you'd please your teacher. And you'd please your Savior. Great church. A great church. Fundamental Baptist Church, I will say, in the eyes of many, is a great church. But we haven't arrived. You don't have great preachers. We're not great people. We aren't nowhere as near what we ought to be as far as being like Jesus. We're all sinners. And we need the Savior. But we're saved by grace. I want to serve Him. I want to honor Him. You got things in your hands. I got things in my hands that we can use for Him. There are people you need to talk to, and there's people I need to talk to and tell them of Jesus. It won't be long. The King is coming. If you this morning want to receive Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to lead you in the sinner's prayer. If you want to be born again, it's as easy as this. The perfect Son of God so loved the world, so loves you, that He took your place in death on Calvary's tree, on the cross. And if you would receive what Jesus did for you there, you will be born into the kingdom of God, the family of God. It's just simply being sorry for your sin and inviting Jesus in, asking for forgiveness, and inviting Jesus into your life. If you would do that right now, right where you're seated, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, just pray like this, not out loud, to God in your heart. Pray these words, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I deserve hell. I'm lost. And I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I trust you right now for salvation. Thank you, Jesus." Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, "I prayed today. I received Christ today." If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.